In this lecture, we're going to discuss infinite dimensional vector spaces of functions. This is one of the most powerful ideas in modern analysis. It takes a little getting used to, but you'll find that it's a very powerful set of techniques. So to this end, we begin by reviewing the concept of a vector space. Definition: a vector space over the field R is a set B together with a binary operation of addition denoted by plus and a second binary operation of scalar multiplication denoted by dot, so that the following axioms are satisfied. And these axioms, there's a bunch of them, there's eight of them, but they're all intuitively appealing, and you've seen them all before. So let U, V, W be elements of the vector space V, let A and B be scalars, that is, real numbers, then U plus V plus W equals U plus V plus W. That's the associative law of addition. U plus V equals V plus U. That's the commutative law of addition. There exists an element 0 in the vector space called the 0 vector, so that V plus 0 equals V. That's the additive identity. For every V in the vector space, there is an element minus V in the vector space called the additive inverse, so that V plus minus V is 0. Now remember that A and B are scalars. A times the quantity B times V is A times B times V. That's associativity for scalar multiplication. 1 times V equals V, where 1 denotes the real number 1. A times U plus V is A times U plus A times V. That's the distributive law for scalar multiplication. And A plus B times U equals A times U plus B times U. That's another distributive law for scalar multiplication. So that's what a vector space is. You've dealt with vector spaces in the past, namely in multivariable calculus, you dealt with the vector spaces R2 and R3. Often in practice, we omit the dot when we're writing the scalar product. Example, of course, Rn is a vector space over R. The addition operation is A1, A2 through An plus B1, B2 through Bn equals A1 plus B1, comma A2 plus B2. Plus dot 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 plus comma an plus bn, that's what we call component-wise addition. And the operation of scalar multiplication is c times a1, a2 through an is ca1, ca2, can, and that's component-wise scalar multiplication. The space little script L1 of all sequences aj, such that summation absolute aj is finite, is a vector space which we commonly call little L1. The operation of addition is aj from j equals 1 to infinity plus bj from j equals 1 to infinity equals aj plus bj from j equals 1 to infinity. That's component-wise addition, and the scalar multiplication operation is c times aj is c times aj. Definition. Let V be a vector space. A real valued function capital N on V is said to be a norm if N of V is bigger than or equal to 0. For all V, N of V equals 0 if and only if V equals 0. N of alpha V equals absolute alpha N of V for all V in the vector space and real numbers alpha. And the triangle inequality N of U plus V is less than or equal to N of U plus N of V for all U of V in the vector space. In practice, we frequently write a norm like this as double bar V double bar. And you've seen that before when you took multivariable calculus. A normed linear space, which is what we're here to study today, is a vector space equipped with a norm. If condition B for a norm is dropped, then N is called a semi-norm. Example, if V is Rn and V equals x1 through xn is in V, then we set N of V to equal square root of x1 squared plus x2 squared plus dot 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 plus xn squared. It is common to denote this norm on Rn by double bar V double bar. Another norm for Rn is given for P bigger than or equal to 1 by double bar V double bar sub P equals parenthesis absolute x1 to the P plus x2 to the P plus dot 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 plus xn to the P quantity to the 1 over P. We shall not provide the details of the triangle inequality, but leave that matter as something for you to think about. The space little L1, which we described above, has the norm double bar sequence AJ double bar sub 1 is summation absolute AJ. The space capital X of functions F on the closed interval 0, 1, so that F prime exists and is continuous, forms a vector space. The expression n of f is the sup over x and 0, 1 of absolute f prime of x is a semi-norm on x, for if f is a non-zero constant, then the norm of f is 0. So you see that for this particular capital N, there's uncountably many different non-zero f's with n of f is 0, so it's only a semi-norm. Definition, let x, comma, script capital X mu be a measure space. Consider the space of all integrable functions. It is common to denote this space by L1 of X comma mu or just L1. The norm on L1 is double bar F double bar sub L1 equals the integral of absolute F. In fact, it is convenient to identify two integrable functions if they are equal almost everywhere. This is an equivalence relation on the set of all integrable functions. And we think in practice of L1 as the collection of such equivalence classes. Let X, capital script X, mu be a measure space. Let 1 less than or equal to P less than infinity, the space of all measurable functions F, so that absolute F to the P has finite integral is denoted by LP of X mu, or simply LP. The norm on this space is double bar F double bar LP equals the integral of absolute F to the P d mu all to the 1 over P. We shall now prove a sequence of lemmas that will establish, among other things, the non-obvious fact that double bar some LP is actually a norm. So, proposition, holders inequality. If F is an LP and G is an LQ, where P is between 1 and infinity, Q is between 1 and infinity, and 1 over P plus 1 over Q equals 1, then F times G is an L1, and the L1 norm of F times G is less than or equal to the LP norm of F times the LQ norm of G. A very interesting and useful fact. So proof, let alpha be a real number strictly between 0 and 1. Consider the function phi of t is alpha t minus t to the alpha for t bigger than or equal to 0. It's easy to see that phi prime at t is less than 0 for t between 0 and 1, and phi prime at t is bigger than 0 for t bigger than 1, just because alpha is strictly between 0 and 1. The mean value theorem then tells us that phi t is bigger than or equal to phi 1, and phi t equals phi 1 if and only if t equals 1. We conclude then that t to the alpha is less than or equal to alpha times t plus 1 minus alpha for t bigger than or equal to 0. Now, if A is bigger than or equal to 0, B is positive, and T is equal to A over B, in this last inequality, let's multiply through by B. The result is A to the alpha B times B to the 1 minus alpha equals alpha A plus 1 minus alpha B. And the equality holds here if and only if little a equals little b. Now, let P be strictly between 1 and infinity, in 1 over p plus 1 over q equals 1. Set alpha equals 1 over p. If capital A and capital B are non-negative numbers, then we set little a equals capital A to the 1 over alpha, which is a to the p, and capital B equals capital B to the 1 over 1 minus alpha, which is b to the p over p minus 1, which is b to the q. Then we may conclude from inequality 1, that capital A times capital B is less than or equal to capital A to the P divided by P plus capital B to the Q divided by Q, and that equality holds if and only if capital A to the P equals capital B to the Q. Now suppose that F is in LP and G is in LQ, and that F in LP norm is not zero and G in LQ norm is not zero. The product of F and G is certainly measurable, and inequality 2 with capital A equals F cap absolute value fx divided by norm flp and capital B equals absolute gx divided by norm glq tells us that absolute value f times g divided by norm flp norm glq is less than or equal to absolute value f to the p divided by p norm flp to the p plus absolute g to the q times norm glq to the q. Since both terms on the right-hand side of this last inequality are integrable, it follows from an earlier corollary and the additivity of the integral that f times g is integrable. And on performing the integral, we find that norm fg L1 divided by norm flq glq less than or equal to 1 over p plus 1 over q equals 1, and that is Holder's inequality. That's the end of the proof and the end of today's lecture.